Reverend Marian Edmonds Allen is Executive Director of Parity, and she's here to talk about their Glitter and Fire event that takes place on June 4th and gave us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Marian.
Hey, Charlotte.
Tell us about Parity.
Parity is a national organization based in New York City. And what we do is we work at the intersection of LGBTQ and faith, meaning we work to make faith spaces, churches, faith organizations LGBTQ affirming, and sometimes harder, we work to make queer spaces faith affirming.
Tell us about the Glitter and Fire event.
Glitter and Fire will be held on Pentecost, which is June 4th, the start of Pride Month, and it's a follow-up to an initiative we did on Ash Wednesday called Glitter Ashes. And you may have seen that in the news. It really ticked a lot of people off. We suggested that churches and pastors mix glitter in with the ashes on Ash Wednesday for queer visibility. And that was such a hit that we thought, okay, let's do it again. So for Pentecost, we're shipping out glitter to churches all over the country again, and suggesting that they use them in worship and use them in street action.
What do you hope to accomplish with this event?
What we want to do is we want to show the world that there are queer people of faith and that there are queer affirming allies within faith communities. Too often, a lot of people think, oh, if you're LGBT, you don't go to church or you don't have any spiritual practice. And often people think, oh, if you're a straight church-going person, you must hate gay people. Well, that's not true. And what we want to show is that in every neighborhood, there are people who are queer-affirming and are of faith. And putting some glitter on and being out in the world is a way to show that.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Oh, world domination. And I say that jokingly, but what I see is LGBTQ rights, affirming them through a faith perspective, can break the whole thing open. There is marginalization and exclusion of queer people from faith that happens right from the get-go. I was talking to someone yesterday who has what they think is a gender exceptional six-year-old, and they are evangelicals and they love their church. Well, their church just told them, we don't want you to come anymore. Your six-year-old is causing problems with our Sunday school teachers. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to answer questions, so we don't want you to come to church anymore. This happens over and over again, and that is what ends up with this religious liberty question that people have in this cause that really begs the question of queer people having faith and queer people having their own religious liberty. So that needs to change, and I see that as the key of breaking things open for queer people around the world.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights?
I'm a person that figured out my queer identity later in life. I was 40 years old before I realized that I had met my very first queer person when, of course, I'm sure I had known them all my life, but never realized it. So at the age of 40, I realized this is who I am. And also as a person of faith, it put me right into crisis mode. Well, what does that mean? God hates queer people. So I worked through that and realized that if I put the two together, my faith identity and my queer identity, there was so much more that I could do in the world. And thus began my overt commitment to LGBTQ civil rights. I had always been a person that thought, okay, equality for everyone. But unless you add queer to equality, oftentimes queer people are excluded from equality. So I made it my business to have that be my ministry. I started churches for queer people. I was a church planter. And then I was recruited to Utah, where I started working with queer homeless youth, and then became an advocate and activist for queer youth preventing suicide and homelessness, and getting conservative religious folks to care, to introducing those folks to homeless youth who they didn't think existed. And then once they realized that, oh, there is a youth sleeping in the snow because their parents kicked them out because they're queer, we all need to work together. So thus my activism began, and it's just who I am now.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in a Trump administration, especially when they throw things like religious freedom borders at us?
I think that this is a perfect time for the queer community to come together. I know from my work running LGBT centers and other LGBT advocacy work that too often we don't work well together, but now we really need to work well together across all of our different identities and intersections. And we also need to partner with our allies and to make other people allies of us as well. What I'm hearing in the world is people saying, wow, I really care about transgender people. I don't want them to be hurt or excluded or killed. What can I do about it? And now's the time when we can invite those allies and those folks who are just realizing that there are real issues in the world to help us, to add us to our pool of donors and volunteers, and to listen to their ideas too. If we can pull together and work together, there's nothing we can't do.
With LGBTQ teens already four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with the Trump presidency?
What I saw immediately after the election was a great deal of distress from LGBTQ youth. I've worked with youth for many years, and they reached out to me saying, Marian, I don't know what to do now. I feel so alone. I feel like I might get attacked. So what we've been doing is connecting youth with local affirming service providers and local organizations so that they can get the support they need. And we've started virtual support groups for those youth who are so far away from services that they didn't have anywhere to go. What we also know, and I worked with the Family Acceptance Project and Caitlin Ryan, is that youth who are rejected by their parents for being queer or appearing to be queer are not four times more likely to attempt suicide, they're eight times more likely. And when I was working in Utah with youth, we had a week where we lost eight young people to suicide, and it is a very, very real concern. And what we all need to do is to support each other in our communities. So what I tell people is if you are in distress, you need to ask for help. You need to reach out to someone you trust. And I tell to those of us who are helping people, you need to watch out for folks. You need to check in with people that you wonder about. We all need to pull together right now, and we also need to refer youth and people in distress to hotlines, to service providers, and make sure that we all get the help we need.
How can people get information about Parity and also the Glitter and Fire event?
Our website is parity.nyc, parity.nyc. And on our website, there's lots of information about Glitter and Fire. There's information about what you can do in your area. If you're a clergy person, here's some liturgy that you can use in worship service. If you are someone that likes to do street actions, and we saw a lot of that with glitter ashes, that people would go to a subway station and they would offer glitter and people loved it. Here's how you can do that. We offer to send glitter. And when we did Glitter and Ashes, we sent things out, packages out filled with glitter and ashes to over 200 sites around the country. And then we created a map where we mapped where the different sites were. So if someone was in Chicago, they could look on the map and see, wow, there are five different places I can go to get glitter and ashes in Chicago. So I suggest people go to our website, see what we have, get in touch with us, and we'll send you some free glitter. We're also including instructions how to make a glitter bomb blessing for a group. So you can take a group outside, you can say queer-affirming things, and you can toss glitter up above all of them and share in the joy of glitter and be queer-affirming.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm working with a group of closeted transgender youth right now that love to do creative writing. They reached out to me after the election and said, we want our voices to be heard. We want our voices to be saved. We're very afraid for what might happen in the world. So this small group that started out has turned into a large group that's all over the country, and they write poetry. Right now they're working on telling Godspell from a transgender perspective, Jesus as a homeless transgender youth of color who was betrayed by a friend that they thought was an ally. So what we're doing is we're fostering community and expression for transgender youth. Another project that I'm excited about is something called Center in a Box. And what that is, it empowers and equips faith communities, churches, to start an LGBT center or an LGBT youth group or some type of outreach to LGBT people in their community. And this is something that I've done for years, and I've done it in mostly rural communities where there aren't any queer affirming services. A church will start a youth group that is affirming of all youth, and then it grows and becomes a service provider and an outpost of information for a community. And then that turns into community organizing and transformation, which is what I'm really all about. And another thing that we're doing is something that's called Safety Net. And we have well over 1,000 people in almost every community in the country, so that when I get a call that there's a youth in distress, maybe newly homeless or suicidal, or parents are rejecting, I can find someone who is nearby who can provide peer counseling or references to services. And that way we're sure that everyone has some type of support near them, even if they don't realize that they do.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Well, you know, there is. I realized when I was a queer person and a faith person and felt really alone and thought, wow, there's no one like me. So what I love to be asked is someone who says, wow, I'm a queer person and I wonder more about spirituality these days. I think about things and I wonder about God, but I know that God doesn't have anything for me. That's not something that I can do. And I say, yes, that is something that you absolutely can do, no matter what your faith background is, your denomination or religion. There is an LGBT affirming group out there. There are people who are like you out there. You are not alone. And one of the things that we're starting to do is to organize retreats. Parity has a legacy of doing retreats for queer emerging clergy members, and Parity has done that for a dozen years. Now we're making our retreats open to any queer person who is interested in faith. And we have some fantastic partners that we're working with. We're working with Liz Edmond, the author of Queer Virtue, and who has collaborated with me on Glitter Ashes and Glitter and Fire, and Michael Ferguson, who is a queer Mormon mystic neuroscientist who is going to break open the intersection of science and faith from a queer perspective. So that's where the world of queer and faith is moving, and we are inviting everyone to join with us so we can hear everyone's ideas.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
You know, I do, and it comes from the first published woman author, Julian of Norwich, who was a Christian mystic who lived in the 1300s. She lived alone in a little cottage with her cat, which sounds really good to me some days. But what she said was, all manner of things shall be well. So on the days when I think, wow, I'm having a really tough time, I can't do it anymore, I think, okay, like Julian said, all manner of things shall be well. And that helps to remind me that for the times in my life when I felt that I can't get through a tough situation, and we've all had those times, I've been able to do it. I'm a survivor, I'm a queer person who survives, and I will again. So, all manner of things will not only be well, they will be fabulous.